following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Daddy's Show. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter on this Wednesday. Big Ten preview today takes us to Ohio State. Paul Keels will be with us, voice of the Buckeyes. He's been kind of our Ohio State voice since day one. Very recognizable voice. And every once in a while has picked up some national football league games that you hear here on ESPN Radio. Plus, Bill Bonner, he is the manager of this year's Kearney Little League team. They're headed to Indianapolis next week for the Midwest Regional. We'll talk with him about that. We have got the State Legion baseball tournaments have pretty much been all set up. We'll look at that. The Nebraska Amateurs going on. A lot of stuff to get to today. Buffalo County Fair is underway. We'll give you a chance to win tickets twice today to the Buffalo County Shootout, which is the ultimate bull riding, which will be on Sunday, and also to the Demolition Derby on Saturday.
I don't get to make the Demolition Derby this year. It's like the first time in like forever I haven't been to the Demolition Derby at the Buffalo County Fair. Been a long time. It's because, you know, we got a little road trip coming up. I got it.
Cubs Cards, Demolition Derby.
Okay, Cubs Cards. That'll work. That'll work.
That's going on. Burwell Rodeo's going on this weekend. And just a lot of things that came up. It was supposed to be that downtime, and let's face it, if we weren't previewing the Big Ten and didn't have Legion baseball, it is kind of a downtime. But I came across all kinds of just little knickknacks and tidbits, and here in the first half hour of the show, folks, we are pretty open. You can join us, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. And you can also, of course, email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. In fact, let's do that today.
Yes,
let's do that today. All the Twitters that our main man, producer Jeff, gets in the next hour, we'll draw out at the end of the show for a pair of tickets to the ultimate bull riding at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. So just send us a Twitter, say, I want to ride bulls. I want to see some bull riding. I want to go to ultimate bull riding. Whatever, as long as it says bull.
Edit yourself, though. No, edit yourselves a little bit there,
read
folks.
It. Put whatever you want.
Hey, that's chaos.
Everybody's
that's just chaos.
See it. So tweet us. Send us a little tweet today, at ESPN 1460 1550. It'll keep Jeff busy, at ESPN 1460 1550, and we'll draw out a winner for the Ultimate Bull Riding Tour, two tickets for Sunday.
Mondo Excelente. By the way, have you packed for Chicago yet? I'm just trying to decide
please
if I should pack my swimming suit for the hotel pool. You know, just pack my swimming suit for the hotel pool. Have you packed your swimming suit for the hotel pool?
You scare me.
I just want to make sure that you're going to wear a suit if you go to the hotel. That's all I'm worried about.
We've stayed
at
this motel. I think this will be the fourth time, third or fourth time.
I'm not even sure where the pool is.
You know what? That's why I am
know
with.
Where a lot of
now that my kids
are
a certain age, I have no idea where the pool is at. I'm the same way. Once it's a certain age, I have no idea. I don't care if you have a pool.
Well, let's talk a couple of football things here. You heard a little bit about it on Hail Varsity yesterday, and just leave Pat Fitzgerald alone. That's
It's just a low shot across the bow.
Leave Tony Dungy alone.
Yeah.
If you're going to interview people and you want them to be honest and give you answers,
right,
then you can't critique. Unless it's way out there. You can't go crazy over every little thing that they say. So Pat Fitzgerald, he's at a fundraising golf tournament. He's having fun. He wants fans to come back for homecoming. That's the Husker game. Called Nebraska a boring state. And says,
that's
hey,
why they all come
let's
here.
Block yeah. the interstate and make sure that we don't have three-fourths of the stadium filled with Nebraska fans.
I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with that. It's a little fun.
We are fairly boring.
Yeah, it's a little fun. Winning national championships is kind of a good time and something that you know the folks in Northwestern wouldn't know. But that's okay. That's
not
okay.
Not as boring as the Dakotas. I mean,
oh God, let's start it all, shall we? Let's just start it all.
You want to start making boring. I mean, yeah.
But I don't have any problem with Fitzgerald doing that. You do a little sniping across
it's
teams
fun.
In your conference. Hey, you know what that means? You know what that means? We're now in the Big Ten. Yeah, we're now accepted in the Big Ten because Big Ten coaches are taking little swipes at us. Now we're part of the family. Thank you. That's the welcoming gift that we get from Pat Fitzgerald. I'm okay with that. It's okay.
I just think that when we talk to the coach, it'd be funny to have something there. And not necessarily about boring, but, you know, like the real NU, you know, because that's what Northwestern is
there
NU.
You go. Yeah.
And even on your Big Ten things, it's NEB for Nebraska or U of N. But when they put NU, it means Northwestern. It does not mean Nebraska. So, you know, maybe we could.
They got it first.
We could wear an undershirt with that. And then when he sets down, we could just kind of.
Break that open.
Real NU. We're boring. Can I do something like that.
And can I do the Tony Dungy thing? Did Tony Dungy not exactly prove what he was saying by the fact this thing all blows up when he talks about the 249th player selected in the NFL draft? And we're talking about it. It's this big of a deal.
It's tabloid
it's
media.
It's 240, the 249th. There were only seven other teams that still had a chance to draft Michael Sam, who I don't know if they would have or not. But everybody else, 24 teams completely passed, I would think in part because of exactly what Tony Dungy said.
And because I don't want to make an hour-long show because I think people are already tired of it from the national scene, I agree with you. And as I've said, and I will say it again, the reason I feel that I'm like in a 10% where I am at on this whole situation, I am past this. I don't care about what Michael Sam does during his personal life. He's not shooting anybody. He's not high on drugs. Go on down the
Seems
line.
Seems like a nice dude.
If he's good
enough. He's easy to root for.
If he's good enough, I hope he makes the football team. But I'm not going to root for him any more than I'm rooting for Rex Burkhead to make the Cincinnati Bengals.
No.
I mean, so if you're one of the best players on their roster and you get to play, great. Whether you are an openly gay man or not doesn't make you a better or worse football player.
No.
Basketball player, baseball player.
Insert sport here.
Good God. I don't want to watch, you know, get away from TMZ sports talk. Let's focus on the football player.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
right. This is not Jackie Robinson.
No. And I'm completely with you. Absolutely. He seems like a nice guy. He's fairly easy to root for. If he makes it, great. If he doesn't, he probably didn't make it because he wasn't a good enough football player and for no other reason. So don't even come with that if and when. His football career will come to an end. When it comes to an end, it won't come to an end because he was gay. Just won't.
If you want to read an article today or you want to talk about something that's worth talking about as a Husker fan, ESPN.com, talking about Rex Burkhead and his leadership role with the Cincinnati Bengals. It is very obvious that Burkhead is probably going to be on the line that last cut day, unless they already know and they say, hey, Rex, we're going to cut you early and give somebody else a chance. Because there's a Giovanni Bernard who was up for Rookie of the Year last year, outstanding running back.
Yeah, great year.
And in the article early on, the gist is about how he is learning from Rex Burkhead. He is learning from his backup about how to finish strong, work harder, give that extra effort in practice. All those things that coaches look for when they're looking for that 48th, 49th, 50th practice squad guy to keep with the team. And they're talking that they probably have the top three running backs, so it'll be down. They usually keep four. It'll be down maybe to Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Rex Burkhead, maybe one other. They think, you know, Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard will be 1-2. They say that Cedric Pierman is a little bit better on special teams. But it's a cool article. You can see it at ESPN.com on the NFL side. Cincinnati Bengals talking about it. It's actually on one of their blogs. And Burkhead just getting praise from the coaches. And it's a lot like Danny Woodhead.
Mm-hmm.
And Woodhead re-signs. He actually gets a contract extension today. They have taken him out two more years through 2016 with the San Diego Chargers.
With the Bengals, one of those other things that people look at and well, that the teams look at that people don't necessarily look at is what is your contract? How much money against the cap is it? That sort of thing. And I think that may very well, and again, I don't know Ben Jarvis Green Ellis's contract exactly where it's at now, but that might be one of those things that works in favor of Rex Burkhead, because I would think that the law firm is getting more money per year than what Burkhead is.
Well, and it's cool. I hope, you know, you hope he makes it. He's obviously a guy that
again, a good dude. A good guy.
He's good at about everything. He's not great at about everything, and that's, you know,
yeah,
that's the difference.
Have to find your niche in there somewhere.
Running back over the left shoulder of Rivers from the 11. Shotgun snap. Another block from Clary. Rivers looking, has Woodhead open in the end zone, got it! Touchdown, San Diego! Danny Woodhead!
Okay, now that's the call. But Danny Woodhead, one of his touchdowns last year. Okay, but the following continues on, and I know the play-by-play guy's name, and it slipped my mind, who's done the Chargers games for a long time. But okay, so Danny Woodhead gets the touchdown, and let's just one more time here, just a little bit of it.
And snap, another block from Clary. Rivers looking, has Woodhead open in the end zone, got it! Touchdown, San Diego! Danny Woodhead, you must be that tall to ride this ride. At 5'7" in the back of the end zone, he's got the Chargers their first touchdown of the day.
Oh, sure, wow. Bring up the short thing. Thanks, buddy.
So there you go. Woodhead, career year last year with the Chargers, first among all NFL running backs in touchdown catches, second in receptions and receiving yards. He had new career highs in catches, yards, and touchdowns last year.
First time in his career he really was given that role of being a receiving running back, where he wasn't asked to protect the quarterback and block, which he can do a great job of as well. San Diego used him much better than any other team up to that point.
They expanded his role.
They did. They gave him a role.
They intentionally brought him in to expand his
role. Yeah, he was. They sought him out because they could see the things that he could do instead of having them kind of fall in his lap like he did when he went to the Jets, didn't make the team, went to the Patriots. Patriots then just kind of had to, here's our niche, and they fit Woodhead in there. The Chargers looked for Woodhead. They had a need, and they said Woodhead's the guy to fill it. And that's a much different approach, the reason that Woodhead had so much of an increased role last year.
Woodhead will be going into his seventh season in the National Football League. Brett Maher, Kearney High, Nebraska ex-kicker, is the Canadian Football Player Special, or Canadian Football League Special Teams Player of the Week, a perfect 6-for-6.
You can't do better than that.
Ottawa Red Blacks. That's their name. He was a perfect 6-for-6 on field goals, scored all of his team's points in the first game at their new home, 18-17 over Toronto, a 27-yarder in the last minute. He also had 6 punts for an average of over 51 yards in the contest. Currently 4th in the league in kicking points.
That is phenomenal. As a kicker, you're not going to have a better game than punting 51 yards on average and then hitting 6 field goals, including the game winner, for your franchise's first win in their new home. I mean, come on. That is, if somebody wrote that script, they wouldn't believe it. That's phenomenal. It really is, as a kicker.
And best of luck. So hopefully things continue there for Brett. Got to latch on if you want to get to where you want to be, and it's not bad being with the CFL. So he's making a little coin there, and you hit game winners, that opens people's eyes. The Associated Press, a couple of years ago, everybody has a poll now. There never was a power ranking poll for the pros, so they do that now, and their preseason poll is out. Seattle starts the season number one, and no surprise, San Francisco is second, then Denver, then the Patriots.
Yeah.
I'd be hard-pressed to tell you that the Patriots will be the fourth best team in the NFL this year. They're living on their past. And I think it's catching up with them a little bit. And they're still going to be good.
Who else in the
AFC?
They're
still going to be good. And then they've got the Saints and Packers fifth. The Colts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who else in the AFC? I mean, I don't know. They're comparable. I think the Patriots are going to be awfully good. They're getting better. Their defense is going to be a much improvement from what it was last year.
And then as Colts were seventh, Eagles eighth, Bengals ninth, and the Chargers, maybe surprisingly, are 10th. The Bears are 11th. The Chiefs are 14th in this poll.
I'm afraid you're going to have to scroll down.
Oh, there's the Dolphins. They're right above the Cowboys, 24 and 25.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think.
And by the way, I have a beef today. My bigger beef today is watching SportsCenter this morning, where, again, they have to kill time before the NFL. So Tim Hasselbeck's on. And today they're talking NFC with the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, and talking their division. And they're breaking down the four quarterbacks. And I know a lot of people make fun of Tony Romo. But if you tell me right now that Tony Romo is the worst quarterback in that division, you can kiss my backside. What have the rest of those guys done? Eli has won Super Bowls.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody has called Eli the star of that Giants team. So if you want to put Eli ahead of him, fine. Nick Foles and RG3, plenty of potential. What have they done? Tim Hasselbeck, you're a joke. That's a joke. You have something against Tony Romo in Dallas, and you made your point by doing that today. That's a joke. That is a joke. Yes, he hasn't won a big game. Neither of the other two.
I'm kind of a fantasy football guy. I'm taking Romo over the other guy. In fact, everybody in that
division. Maybe Romo needs to play defense.
I would take him over Eli in terms of fantasy numbers. The pure numbers of touchdowns he's going to throw and completions and yards, that sort of thing. Again, not all those picks that he gave up last year were his fault, because a few times he hit the receiver right in the hands, and it became a tip drill, and that you can't pin on the quarterback either. So I'm with you. I think Romo is much, much better than people give him credit for. If he just would have held on to the snap in that playoff game, won his first playoff game, our opinion of Tony Romo would be 70% better. On one play, and a lot of times it's not even the starting quarterback. In fact, he was the backup quarterback when he started that.
I just want you to know that had Dallas made the extra point, there was still time on the clock, and Seattle probably would have found a way to win, and it wouldn't have mattered. People
wow.
just don't realize
just,
that.
Just,
that's Cowboy fan. That's Cowboy
is
fan.
Is that fan? That's how a fan acts? They think they're that negative? That's okay.
When's the last time we won a playoff game?
It's been a while.
And the Royals, by the way.
And by the way, you were spoiled before you got in your little playoff schneid, just so you know.
And sad news, Cowboys lost a running back today that passed away at the age of 64. I wasn't even going to go there, but since we got on the Dallas Cowboys deal here today, you just see football players kind of pass away at younger ages, I guess.
Then the general population, yeah, unfortunately. And I don't know if it's the football or the lifestyle that they kind of get used to. You know, I don't know exactly what those factors are, but I had not heard that. Pat Bowlen from the, sad news there for the owner and the guy that's been running the Broncos. And you can't really argue with the amount of success that they've had over the years. So that's a sad deal there, too. And obviously doing his best to fight off the effects of Alzheimer's and that sort of thing. So I wish him the best of luck as well.
All right, we need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back,
on that uplifting note that we just kind of wrapped up with there.
Well, we're going to take a break and give somebody a chance to be a winner. Then we've got Paul Keels, Ohio State, at the bottom of the hour. Bill Bonner, Connery Little League, is going to join us. Don't forget, tomorrow we are at Bandits in Grand Island. Steve Anderson from Fauner Park and Skate Island will be my co-host. We'll talk Wisconsin football. We'll talk with Joe Wells as their junior team from Grand Island 5 Points going to the state tournament. We'll talk with Marv Johnson, one of the top horse trainers around, tomorrow on the show, and we've got a lot more coming up. Husker Roundtable is on Friday. Again, don't forget, tweet us to have a chance to win tickets to the Ultimate Bull Riding going on Sunday night at the Buffalo County Fair. Saturday, it is the Demolition Derby. I've got a pair of tickets and a parking pass. If you have not won this week, you have got a chance. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. If you want the Demolition Derby tickets, all you have to tell me is, who did the Associated Press poll say is the worst team in the NFL going into this season? We told you that they have Seattle, San Francisco, Denver, and the Patriots, along with the Saints and the Packers in the top five, tied for fifth there. Who does that poll have as the worst team in the NFL heading into the season? First correct caller gets the Demo Derby tickets, and we'll be right back.
Some days, getting started is tough. It takes you longer than it used to get up and go. Maybe you need to lose a couple of pounds. Get back in shape. It's time to start something new. ManCore, with our most powerful all-natural male supplements. ManCore helps you tighten your core and shed pounds fast. Build increased strength and stamina, plus a powerful formula to help you sleep all night like you earned it. ManCore is for any guy who wants to look better, feel better, and most of all, perform better. Ask your complete nutrition success coach about ManCore and start something new today. This month only, get 30% off your ManCore 3-pack. Complete nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Sign your team up today for the fun-filled Coors Miller Golf Scramble Weekend, August 2nd and 3rd at the Kearney Country Club. Your entry fee gets you golf, cart, a steak dinner, Calcutta, prizes, and four complimentary Miller or Coors products. And on Friday the 1st, for a minimal fee, you can have a practice round and compete in the two-person shootout. Contact the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553. Sign up today for the three-person Coors Miller Scramble, August 2nd and 3rd at the Kearney Country Club.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll have a slight chance for a few spotty showers or thunderstorms early today. Otherwise, it's met sunny skies with a high of 86 degrees. And we could see some more pop-up storms tonight with a low of 65. I'm meteorologist Sam Denisti. Right now, it's 68.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. Cheyenne Frontier Day is going on as well. Florida Georgia Line playing there, and apparently they're coming to Nebraska Land Days next year. You can get your tickets Saturday for that, by the way.
You get your tickets for next year's Nebraska Land Day Saturday.
Yeah, because I know what I'm doing at that time next year. I think some people just probably circle that, and they go to it every Friday, every year in North Platte. That's fine, but that's also insane.
Well, I mean, you want them, go get them. There's not that. As soon as you know you want to go, you go.
It's setting a precedence we don't need. I'm just saying, all of a sudden, how far? I mean, it's like you want to book your motel room.
Well, there's some things I know I'm going to do a year in advance. I know every year I'm going to go to, you know,
take a shower.
Well, I know every year I'm going to go to state basketball. I shower about every day, so about every day. Sometimes I go.
Why do you open yourself up? Why do you open yourself up like that?
I don't know.
Why?
Hey, that's what we're discussing. We know certain things we're going to do every year, and I know what I'm going to do. I just now I have to do it differently.
Congratulations to Nick from Hastings. He got our trivia question right, picked up the Buffalo County Fair Demolition Derby tickets. We asked you the poll out from the Associated Press. It's called their Pro 32 NFL Power Rankings, and the least powerful team Oakland.
The Oakland Raiders, yeah.
Not Jacksonville.
They're going to be a little bit better.
Had guesses of...
They only had one direction to go, let's face it.
Had guesses of Minnesota, Cleveland, Tennessee, and Miami.
Mentioned that Miami wasn't. Somebody said Miami?
Nobody guessed Dallas. Nobody guessed Dallas.
We said earlier that it wasn't Miami, and they still guessed it, so we can't say that was a quality guess now, can we? Can we? And by the way, where did Miami rank? Who are they above? Can we think of a team that they rated above Oakland? That would be the Cowboys. Yeah.
I didn't make fun of your team.
You did just
brag
a second
about,
ago.
Brag about 24th and 25th want. Go for that.
Go for that. By the way, Miami's offensive line will be better because it'd be impossible for it to be any worse.
Folks, don't forget a little respite from the 100-degree weather today. T&L Irrigation is there for you the whole time. Whether the weather is perfect for you or whether you need that insurance to make sure your crops are ready to go when it's harvest time, T&L Irrigation and Precision Link enables web-based pivot control for their T&L pivot systems, working in combination with PPC3 to let you manage your pivot with your computer or mobile device and a simple internet connection. They have been working with farmers not only in our listening area and the state of Nebraska, but throughout the United States and worldwide since the 1950s, over 60 years, and they move along with the times. And that's why PPC3 is there for today's irrigation. Proven technology that works, T&L Irrigation Company. Should I be a little more worried about Nebraska football? Because for the second straight day, a non-conference opponent has been picked to win their conference division. Now, again, not the league. Miami of Florida was picked to play Florida State in the ACC championship game, and now in the Mountain West Conference, they have selected Fresno State to play Boise State, and Fresno State is the defending champion. Nebraska plays those teams back-to-back, Fresno on the road, Miami at home, and they play the two punks right off the get-go, so there's no... I mean, you have to remember, you're playing one, and then you're turning right around and heading out west.
When Fresno State was scheduled, when Miami was scheduled, did we really think that either one of those games was going to be a laugher? I mean, you know, they're playing some bad teams that in the preseason part of the season. You know, I mean, the games actually count. But is anybody surprised that Miami's going to be good in football? I mean, isn't that what we kind of wanted to do? We finally wanted to play them on our turf. But we don't want to beat the Sisters of the Poor here. We want to play a team that's...
Two of them.
Well, we do. We got two of those. I mean, you want to play somebody that's going to have some salt to them a little bit, and Miami is not where they were, but the program's coming back. They're beating them ought to mean something, you know. And you go to Fresno and you beat them, that ought to mean something. So I don't know if I'm worried about it. I think Nebraska is going to be better at the quarterback position than what most people give them credit for. That's why I think Nebraska overall will be better. I think they're dismissing Armstrong tremendously, and that's why Nebraska is not getting much respect. I think Nebraska is going to be better than people think, because I think Armstrong is going to be better than people think. You're not buying it.
By better than people think, what are you?
Well, most people think. I mean, they have a problem at quarterback. I don't think we have a problem at quarterback. I think we got a solid quarterback. I mean, he's not Braxton Miller.
10-2, 11-1, winning the West. I mean, that's what you have to say.
I'm saying winning the West. Yeah, I will say the game. I can't tell how many turnovers we're going to have that Nebraska will have against Michigan State. Centers on that simple idea right there, but I think certainly they will either win the West or be right there at the end.
You're very optimistic. Here's what I'll say about
I don't think I'm overly optimistic. I think it's...
Here's what I'll say about your thought. If Nebraska does win the West and gets to Indy, they should have a hell of a chance to win the championship game, because then that means they beat some really good teams, and they beat some really good teams on the road.
Yes. Yes.
It's that time, 14 teams in 14 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 28th and 29th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Big Ten East Division for today's team.
Ohio State.
The Buckeyes.
It's time for 14 teams in 14 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, Ohio State was rolling along again last year and then actually go into the postseason on a two-game losing streak after winning a million games in a row. For the Big Ten and some fans, they're like the Yankees and the Cowboys and the Lakers, that team you kind of love to hate, but for a long time they're the team that has represented the Big Ten. They are the team that you circle on your calendar that if you can beat Ohio State, maybe you've arrived in the conference. And Doug Duda, along with Randy Bushcutter, on our 14 teams in 14 days, we look at the Buckeyes with the voice of Ohio State. Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Paul Keels. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, man, just hearing that voice. I'm sorry, Paul.
Oh,
I know it's a man crush.
Stop.
Sorry about that, man.
Man crush is what it is.
This is different. Ohio State actually coming off a couple of losses. Does that worry them at all, even though they were against two very good teams and two very close ball games?
No, I don't think it worries anybody. I think that, you know, what happened in those two games were certainly things that had been concerns all through the 24-game winning streak, really. The lack of a consistent passing game, a defensive secondary that even while they were winning games had given up a lot of yardage to people in various times. So, no, and I think, you know, certainly you don't want it to take anything away from what both Michigan State and what Clemson did. But I think what it does going into this year, while there is great optimism, there's some significant question marks about this football team going into the year. And that's going to be one of the interesting things to watch, to see how these question marks are addressed.
Paul, one of the question marks you're worried about, would that be the offensive line? I mean, they were solid for the last 3-4 years, but graduation really hit them.
Yeah, that'd be the biggest question. I think when you look at the fact that they have one returning starter coming back in Taylor Decker, they've got some guys that got a lot of experience, like Pat Elflein and Jacoby Morin and Antonio Underwood. They've got a 5-year graduate transfer coming in from Alabama and Chad Lindsey. So there's some guys that have played some football, but not together. And that group really over the last 2 years probably overachieved, considering the questions about them 2 years ago when Urban Meyer first took over. But, you know, for Braxton Miller to be able to do whatever it is that he can do, for their running backs to try and do anything, and for this offense to click the way people think that it might have the opportunity to, that offensive line is going to have to grow up in a hurry.
Talk with Paul Keels, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You like to have a solid offensive line, and you like to have a running game, but it's time to replace Carlos Hyde and Braxton Miller as your second leading rusher last year. You got a young sophomore, it looks like, that in Elliott that is taking the reins. Has he clearly won the job going into fall?
I don't know if I'd say clearly, but he's the number one guy, at least before practice starts. You know, he's a guy they really liked what he showed in small doses last year. But they've got an incoming freshman by the name of Curtis Samuel who went through spring ball, and they think he might be able to give him a little zip. But, you know, there's some other guys back there that have carried the ball before that are kind of ones everybody's been waiting to see what they could do, whether it's Rod Smith, whether it's Bryante Dunn, who redshirted last year, Warren Ball, who 2 years ago had a foot injury. And then you've also, you know, you've got some other people that may get into the mix there and at least compete for some playing time. But, you know, replacing Carlos Hyde is going to be huge. That guy was just, and you guys saw him, you know, for a couple of years when he played against Nebraska, just the way he was able to take the ball and be your typical Big Ten type of running back, run between the tackles, give you those tough yards, but also a guy that, you know, the game out in Lincoln a handful of years ago, I think he really surprised people with his speed. So that's an awful lot to replace, and he became kind of a security blanket for this football team. If the offense bogged down, they just knew in many cases they could hand Carlos Hyde the ball. So those are going to be some big holes to fill. And you talked about Braxton Miller with what he did running the football. Everybody knows what he can do running the football. And, you know, with the fact that he's been at times banged up and had to leave games, there's some concern about him running it as much, but also maybe the biggest concern is him developing as a more consistent passer.
With all that being said, is there a little more pressure on Braxton this year? Do you think he's going to feel that?
I think so, and understandably so, and he's the kind of a kid that's going to accept that too. I mean, he's going into his senior season, you know, his third plus year as the starting quarterback of this football team, but a kid that, you know, he set records, he's got some records in sight, but, you know, he really has, you know, for all of the things that he's done, I'm sure he'd like to be able to see this team, you know, finish in a bowl game with a victory, something that Braxton Miller has not had the opportunity to do, to see this football team, you know, contend for a championship, whether it's Big Ten or national championship. You know, people have talked about him going into this year and last year as being in the Heisman discussion. And certainly it's upon him to prove that he's worthy of that. And remember, guys, too, we're talking about a quarterback who did not go through any spring football, at least any contact, because of the injury, the shoulder injury that he suffered in the Orange Bowl. So, you know, that was some valuable time lost there. But Braxton Miller's a competitor, and Braxton Miller's a guy that, you know, for whatever questions we're sitting here talking about now, he has been a special football player, a guy that has made some incredible plays, and a guy that gives defensive coaches headaches.
Paul, Braxton obviously needs to find some receivers out there. They lost some guys last year, but a name that's interesting to me is Dontre Wilson, who last year did some running back. They're looking at him at maybe running back, but also receiver. How is the overall receiving core going to be for the Buckeyes this year?
Well, there's some experience that comes back there, and Dontre Wilson is one. They've kind of used him in that little Percy Harvin role that's been talked about a lot, but you've got some returning experience in a guy like Devin Smith and Evan Spencer. Michael Thomas was redshirted last year, but a guy that played a lot 2 years ago. Then you're looking at people like a Jalen Marshall, Johnny Dixon, a true freshman who went through spring, Jeff Green, who's a big receiver. And the other part of that, too, is the experience and the talent they have at tight end. They really like what it is that they can get out of Jeff Heuermann, a guy that really has shown that he can be a playmaking and a play-breaking type of tight end. And Nick Van Ed is a guy that maybe is underutilized. He's a good blocker, but a guy, when he's been called upon, has played real well. So I think you're going to see, you know, guys that, you know, they don't have Chris Fields and they don't have Corey Brown, who is another security blanket for Braxton Miller. But there are some other options out there, and that's what I guess we're all anxious to see, is what kind of chemistry quarterback and that group of receivers can put together.
Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, chatting with the voice of Ohio State, Paul Keels, as we preview the Buckeyes today. And even though, Paul, the Buckeyes graduate their top three tacklers from last year, there is a lot of good pub coming in about this year's defense. Is it going to be one of the better ones they've had recently?
Well, I think if you look at the defensive line, then it could be. That's the area that has the most experience. That's the area that has the most playmakers on defense right now. When you think about Joey Bosa, Michael Bennett, Adolphus Washington, Steve Miller is a guy that's played a lot. Noah Spencer missed the first two games because of a suspension, but he's a guy that's been able to make some big plays out there. Tommy Shutt is also someone who's played an awful lot, and there could be some young guys that could get thrown into that mix there. But the defensive line is maybe as good as, potentially as good as what we've seen around here in the wild. And they're going to need to be, because there are questions at linebacker, there are questions in the defensive secondary. So that defensive line really is going to have to be a group that that those defensive coaches lean on an awful lot.
Paul, you mentioned defensive backs. OSU's had tremendous success there. I think they've had 8 first-round NFL picks in the last 15, 17 years or so. And they lose some numbers there. But how is their defensive back core going to be?
Well, I think good, but again, you're talking about replacing a guy like Bradley Roby, but Duran Grant was a guy that really kind of grew up a lot as a starter last year, and a guy that I think could fit in that mold of the kind of defensive backs you're talking about. Armani Reeves is another one who, you know, he's fought through some injury, but he's a guy they're looking at possibly being the other starting cornerback. So there are guys that really can give them some good play there. They just need to get some experience. Eli Apple is a redshirt freshman they think can do some things, as well as Gary and Connolly. And then you throw in the guys that are playing at safety positions as well in the defensive secondary. Tyvus Powell, who came on late in the year and made some big plays. Cam Burrows, they really feel highly about, as well as Von Bell. Ron Tanner, who was a big special teams type of player. So they've got guys, they've got those typical kind of Ohio State athletes there that, you know, nobody really that has shown that they kind of fit the mold yet of what you're talking about, of those past defensive backs that have been high draft picks.
A couple minutes left here with the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always like to throw the special teams in there, so if anybody ever does stop Ohio State, it looks like they're going to have one of the best punters in the conference. But punting, kicking, it looks like we got a pretty young special teams core here all across the board, Paul.
Well, they do, and then I think they were very fortunate with what they got out of Cameron Johnston last year as a punter, a 25-year-old Australian who had played Australian rules football and really did a very, very good job. But they've got to break in a new kicker, and right now it could be one of two. They've got a freshman out of the state of Kentucky named Nuremberg, and Kyle Clinton, who's been a backup for the last couple of years, and they're going to go into the summer camp really battling for it. But, you know, the one thing is I think Ohio State has always been fortunate to have good kickers and good punters. You know, special teams, they've got guys that show that they could possibly be game breakers as far as return players. Where Ohio State has been deficient has been some of their kick coverage this time, and that's where injuries really hurt them an awful lot. So that's going to be an area that Urban Meyer and his coaching staff will look to see, not just with the kickers and the returners, but how they can cover kicks and punts, because that's something that hasn't been at the level that they would hope.
Paul, taking a look at the schedule, you start with Navy, or Ohio State starts with Navy. Obviously, the traditional finish with Michigan, but it is in Ohio State this year. At Penn State, at Michigan State, those are a couple of tough road games. How do you see the schedule shaking out here for Ohio State?
Well, I think the schedule looks favorable. Now, you mentioned Navy, and you guys might remember in 2009, Ohio State opened with Navy and should have lost that game here in Columbus. There's nothing that really prepares you to face that triple option of Navy until you see it, and they're playing this game in Baltimore against Navy. So that could be interesting. They get a couple of in-state opponents in Cincinnati and Kent State at home. They've got Virginia Tech in a night game in Columbus, which should be exciting. But that Michigan State game, a night game in East Lansing, is the one I think everybody really looks at that could be the game that decides what happened in the Big Ten East. You know, Michigan State, while they lost some key people, they bring some key people back. And the Michigan game at the end of the year is always something special. So I think, you know, the schedule looks favorable. Really, you know, the Penn State game, it's a night game at Penn State. That could be a dicey one as well, too. But, you know, I think the thing is, for all of the success that Ohio State has had since Urban Meyer has been here, there have been a few scares against teams that you didn't see it coming. So I think one of the things that Buckeye fans, and I know the coaches, staff for certain, you know, they look at it and they don't take anything for granted when it comes to the opponents that maybe people aren't talking about as much.
Do you find it a little hilarious, Paul, that when a new team comes into the league, their first home game is against the Buckeyes every time?
Yeah, welcome to the Big Ten. You get to play in Columbus, and you know, and then Ohio State's they'll make in the month of September two trips into the state of Maryland, playing Navy in Baltimore and then playing Maryland in College Park. But you know, I think that's just kind of the thing that we've had to get used to. And you guys saw when Nebraska came in, some of the things that you know, are kind of handed to a new member as opposed to those that have been around for a while. But you know, we've all kind of got to get used to this new universe of two divisions, and you know, the Buckeyes not seeing Nebraska now for a while. They just last year had gotten Iowa and Northwestern on the schedule, and then they lose them again for a number of years. So it's a changing world in college football. You'd like to see more games against some of those schools that you haven't seen as much, but you know, we'll kind of all learn with it as we go along.
Paul, do you think the Big Ten East is tougher for Ohio State than the Leaders Division was?
I think so. I think because of the fact that, you know, while they always had Michigan, you now have Michigan State in there. They always had Penn State, so, you know, I think that was there. But I think so. You know, the fact that you lose Wisconsin, who they had in the division for the couple of years that it was there, and really Ohio State and Wisconsin, before the league even broke into divisions, had really started to build up a very good rivalry, not just in football, but in basketball, too. So, you know, that's one of the things I think people are sad to see that go away. You know, the fact that there hasn't been a lot of real regularity with Iowa, who at times has really given Ohio State fits. So you think so, but, you know, Lord knows what it's going to be like. You just, you know, who would have thought 2 years ago they'd have to go to overtime with a backup quarterback to beat Purdue? Who would have thought that, you know, they'd had to struggle to get out of Bloomington, Indiana with a win a couple of years ago? So you just never know.
Well, the good teams and the great teams, I guess you should say, are able to overcome average days on the football field. Paul Keels, voice of Ohio State, will wrap it up with this, Paul. We go to the playoff system this year, but I don't think that's going to change anything for a Big Ten team. I think the only way they get in is to be in Ohio State that has no more than one loss and probably wins the league. Has Coach Meyer talked about that? How are Ohio State fans viewing the playoff? Because obviously outside of Michigan State, there's not a lot of other schools that are probably setting that fan-wise as their goal.
Yeah, you know, we haven't heard Urban Meyer talk about it a lot. I'm sure that'll come up, you know, Monday and Tuesday in Chicago. But, you know, I think the general feeling about how that looks for the Big Ten, and you guys may agree, whoever it is, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan State, Nebraska, or whoever, I think you're going to probably have to look at a Big Ten team going to Indianapolis and coming out of that championship game undefeated to have the best chance they get. Because if you've got somebody that wins that with one loss, and let's say somebody in the, you know, in the SEC obviously runs the table, table, you get a Big 12 team that runs the table, or even a Pac-10 team, you know, then I think you, is the Big 10, you're leaving yourself in a possible position to be on the outside looking in. That's not even to mention, you know, say Florida State, they go undefeated again too. So I think whoever it is in the Big 10, they probably got to come out of Indianapolis undefeated to be able to have a shot at getting that four-team format.
Paul, what do you think? Is Ohio State, are they able to go through undefeated? What do you think their record's going to be both in the conference and overall?
Well, I think they can. They certainly have the ability, but if they do so, it's going to mean that they've played very well in East Lansing against Michigan State. And I think it means they've done, you know, taken care of things against Virginia Tech, which is not as strong as what they've been, but they take care of that here in Columbus, and then they have a big game against their arch rival in Michigan. They have the ability to do that, but I think also looking at it from the other side, you know, we saw how good Michigan State was last year, and maybe none of us really realized that until the game against Ohio State and their game in the Rose Bowl against Stanford. You know, that rivalry game with Michigan, you know, anything can happen in that. And I think people have been pleasantly surprised at how well Penn State has played in the last few years, given their scholarship limitations. So, you know, I think Ohio State's got the ability to do it, but that they're really going to have some tough assignments that they need to answer the bell for.
Well, he was one of our first friends when Nebraska came into the Big Ten Conference. It's always a pleasure to catch up with the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes and Paul Keels here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul, thanks for the time, buddy. We'll see you on Monday.
Sounds good. Look forward to it, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
Take
Paul. Care.
Ohio State continues to win. It seems like Urban Meyer's been there forever, doesn't it? Third year.
Yeah, only third his year. Third year. And, you know, that interim year in 2011 when they had, I think their offensive coordinator was their interim head coach. Mm-hmm. They went 6-7. Throw that out. Here's their record since 09. 11-2, 12-1. Again, 11, they had a bad record. But in 12, they were 12-0, and then last year they won 12 in a row before losing the last two, finished 12-2. So they won 24 games in a row. That's pretty solid.
Not bad, folks. Hey, don't forget, tweet us. We're going to be drawn momentarily here for the ultimate bull riding tickets for the Buffalo County Fair on Sunday. The Twitter address, at ESPN 1460 1550. And Andy's going to slide in here from Midway to talk a little bit about that Buffalo County Fair. And then Bill Bonner, Kearney Little League, is going to talk about their trip to Indianapolis. Andy from Midway just sliding in. It's a busy week for everybody. We're getting ready to go to Big Ten Media Days next week. Andy, you and the gang are out at the Buffalo County Fair. You've got a lot of vehicles out there, and you just got off of cruise night. Yeah. As we said, you're moving product and you want to move product, but you're also doing some really cool things with the community, and so this is a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, we understand, and every year around July, we kind of take a deep breath, and as a Midway employee, especially in the sales department, we say, hey, it's go time. Whether you have the 4th of July festivities that are going on, then the following couple weeks later, you have the Cruise Week, and then you have the Buffalo County Fair. And with us being the title sponsor of the Buffalo County Fair, I tell you what, you know, we're just winding down from the cruise festivities. Went off without a hitch. We had 70-degree weather up at the Midway Chevrolet store on that Thursday for the show and shine. Over 110 classic vehicles out there on the lot. So it was absolutely fantastic. And this week, I'll tell you what, we've actually been out there. I'm on my second set of clothes from when we went ahead and took those vehicles out there. It was a little bit warm, but over 19 vehicles to choose from in stock that are just out there at the Buffalo County Fair. We've actually got three on the roundabout, one kind of sitting in the beer garden, a really cool Jeep Rubicon. We got a really nice Ram and an LTZ Silverado inside. Got a Cadillac XTS out there. And some really cool cars kind of parked just to the south of the exhibit area where they actually have the concert. So when people are out there, you know, and coming in at night, they're going to have a great idea and be able to see everything. And the nice part is the Midway Minute just hit actually about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And so we've been getting a lot of great publicity off of that and just a lot of great things going on. We're really busy.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Off base here.
Yeah.
From the classic cars to what we have now, and right away a Charger or something like that. Since when you buy it, you're not thinking about something that's going to be a classic necessarily back in the day. But what now do you think is going to be a vehicle that fits that MO?
SRT8 Challengers, you know, Cadillac CTS-Vs. You know, part of the thing is they've really – there's a lot of – regulations that come from up above that are forced.
Don't they always?
And we're forced to go ahead and build very similar cars that all the other manufacturers build. The cool thing is like about a General Motors Cadillac CTS-V where you can get, you know, over 500 and some odd horse in this car stock, or if you're looking at an SRT8, you know, Charger or Challenger or something, that's kind of those niche vehicles where you maybe sell 2-3 a year, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't even sell one in a year. But those are the vehicles that 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, we'll probably see sitting up at that Chevrolet store, and it'll probably be a classic car. So
it'll be awesome, folks. Don't forget the Chevy Summer Event is going on right now. Plus, you can see them at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds throughout this entire Buffalo County Fair. So, Andy, you're out. That's all the air conditioning you can suck out of your day, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy the weekend. Andy from the Midway Auto Dealerships, and we're going to be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Are you ready for this? Hey! Buffalo County Fairgrounds.
Leave the night on at the Buffalo County Fair with action-packed events presented by Midway Auto Dealerships. July 26th, watch the draft horses compete from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then at 5 p.m., see the Anderson Wrecking Demolition Derby. It's family fun at the 6th Annual United Way Shootout Bull Riding. Tickets available in advance and at the gate.
Are you ready for this?
Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter travel to Chicago to bring you live coverage of Big Ten Media Days. Join them from 11 to 1 this Monday and Tuesday, plus bonus coverage when they return. Hear from the new guys on the block, Rutgers and Maryland. One-on-one interviews with the Big Ten coaches and star players. Brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island. Log on to gidiocese.org for mass times and parish activities throughout central and western Nebraska. Big Ten Media Days coverage on Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks downtown Kearney.
Well,
a division of Protein Design. Every sport... done right.
Summer is here, and Mountain Mud Espresso in Hastings has cool drinks to keep you cool. Stop into Mountain Mud Espresso and try a smoothie, a frappe, a flavored iced tea, iced latte, or one of our many frozen drinks. On the 4th of July, you can get a frozen red, white, and blue for half price. Mountain Mud Espresso is so much more than just coffee. We also have gift certificates that are sure to please. Two locations in Hastings to serve you at Ampride, 14th and Burlington, and on Highway 6. Grab a Mountain Mud Espresso today and have a blast.
And Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, our producer engineer Jeff Babel with you on this Wednesday. That means Wing Day lunch.
Wing Wednesday, baby.
You love them, and you can't get enough of them. You can get 8 delicious wings for only $5 or
16 for 10.
Thank you.
And that's still a pretty good deal.
Thank you. If you can't make it to lunch, don't worry. They're serving food all day long. And, of course, happy hour runs from 3 to 6. Big-ass beers for $3.50 or a well drink for only $1.50 at Cunningham's on the Bricks, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney. Live entertainment in the courtyard. It's a beautiful night to go out and enjoy it. Wednesday, just a kind of that great night. Breaks up the week a little bit for you. Go enjoy your favorite beverage out in the courtyard with your coworkers, your family, your friends, yourself.
Mid-weekend. It's mid-weekend.
Whatever makes you feel good. And enjoy some live music. Enjoy some great food. Enjoy some outstanding beverages. Whatever you want.
And they're cold, too. Yeah. Don't really need them overly cold today.
Coldest draft beer in town. Cunningham's Journal.
They're solid, though.
The Loft. And Courtyard, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
It's like three places. You can pick.
Well, hopefully in a week here we can talk about, or a couple of weeks we can talk about watching the Kearney Little League on ESPN. Their pool play games will be on ESPN3, and then those semifinals and finals are on the major network. And once again, Kearney Little League wins the state tournament, and they advance on to the Midwest Regional, which begins next Friday, August the 1st. They'll have an evening game, and Bill Bonner is the manager of this year's team, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Billy, congratulations. How are you?
Great. Appreciate you having me on.
I think we're getting to a point now where people, everybody wants to be the manager of the Little League team because they know that they got a chance to go to Williamsport. Is there like a fight in the boardroom at the beginning of the year?
I'm not sure it's a fight, but there are a few still crazy people out there that are willing to do it.
I do want to start there because I've talked about it with the managers over the last, you know, 3-4 years here. About it's basically a lot of different kids every year. There's times we have a couple holdovers, but the coaches are always different. So to keep the success going, it's not like you guys have kind of followed these kids up from when they first started playing baseball. Is that pretty much how it works, isn't it?
Oh yeah, most of these kids we've known, you know, since they've been even out into the Kearney Little League daytime program. There's very few times where you know somebody's just moved into town or something that isn't known as they continue to progress and get older.
Bill, have you had a chance to pick the brains of some of those other coaches over the last few years that have had that success, or is that something you're planning on doing, or what's your approach?
Oh, absolutely. One of the first things that we did this year after we decided on the coaching staff is, you know, sit down and talk with, Mike Koski and Todd Hergis and Brad Wagner and Kurt Schmidt, you know, all the guys that have done it before us, and get the goods and bads of what we need to do and what helped them be successful and things that maybe trip them up a little bit that they would go back and do different, just helps us along the way. And gets us going in the right direction.
I don't want you necessarily to be able to give away any trade secrets, but what are a few things you picked up?
I think it's just how you put together your practices, maintaining some consistency, so the players and the parents and everybody knows right from the very beginning how things are going to run. It's kind of a grueling haul for at least the first 3 weeks of getting preparation and going through the state and district process and tournaments that once you can get past those, you kind of have the stage set. So you put yourself in a position where hopefully you can have some success going forward.
Talking with Bill Bonner here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's managing this year's Kearney Little League team that is headed to the Midwest Regional after winning state. And some people may not realize this. These kids have played baseball all summer, but they haven't necessarily played together. This group has only played the 5 games, which he had the first weekend, and then qualified to go on to state. How are they starting to gel here for you?
Good. I mean, you know, they all know each other outside of baseball, and other sports that they participate in. I would say all of them, either playing basketball or wrestling or football outside of baseball. So they're all pretty good friends off the field before we even got together. So getting them to gel as a team was one of the easier tasks that we had to do. So,
Bill, what kind of team do you have? I mean, you kind of look at it and you think you have one thing and you play a few games, you might have a different opinion about that. Do you have a sense of what your guys' strengths are and maybe some areas that you hope to see some improvement?
I would say our one of our biggest strengths is our pitching staff. We got 3 kids that throw the ball pretty well, pretty hard, and then we got another 5 kids that will come in and throw pretty decent and throw a lot of strikes. And then the second piece is we definitely hit the ball well up and down the whole lineup. All of them have a pretty good swing on them. And so if we can keep them going that direction, we should have some good offensive numbers. And the thing that I guess has surprised me the most is how aggressive we've run the bases in the last 5 games. The kids are fast.
Talking with Bill Bonner here at Kearney Little League for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. Just let's talk a little bit about the kids. And I didn't pull up last year's roster. I think I see at least one that was on last year's team. Is that it? How's that look?
Yep, we have Seth Stroh returns from last year's lineup. You know, he had some success last year going through the going to Indy. Definitely a leader on this year's squad, both on the mound and also at the plate. So far in the five games, Seth has had five home runs and definitely is swinging the bat well.
But there's some baseball families in there. And in terms of looking at the list there, you got a lot of little brothers that have been following big brothers around, some of them all the way to Williamsport.
Yep, there is several kids that had older brothers that have done what we're hoping to do, you know, even up into the Legion ranks. So,
Billy, and I'll run them down. We got Wright, Shires, Worley, Stroh, Bonner, that's Caden, your boy, Shermer, Christensen, Grosskreutz, Rodriguez, Murray, Clevenger, Richter, Pickett, Pearson. Those are some of the names that you'll be hearing and seeing as they get to Indianapolis. What about the competition out there? When I checked this morning, not all six states had qualified, or at least it wasn't on the website. But the other states I didn't recognize as being there the last couple of years. Is there anything you can do to prepare for your competition?
You know, it's a little difficult. I mean, the good thing is with the internet, you can go out and start picking some information and kind of getting an idea of some of the kids. You know, Canyon Lake up in Rapid City, they'll be there. The Kansas team has decided. The Missouri team has decided. Iowa is still in kind of a battle. They have three teams that are kind of at the top of that state title that should be decided. I think their final game is tomorrow, so that should shake out. And then Minnesota's kind of just getting started. So hopefully by the end of the weekend, we'll know who the teams are that we'll be playing against. So, but yeah, there is some information out there. You have to kind of pick through and figure out what's true and what's not. But I think we have a pretty good shot. We match up, I think, well with all of them.
Bill, real quick, does the success that Kearney's had over the last few years, does that come with a little bit of a monkey on your back in terms of there's kind of a higher level of expectations that necessarily shouldn't be placed on, you know, 12 and 13 year old kids that are, you know, just kind of coming out there? Or does that experience and what you've been able to pick from the brains of those other coaches, is that more helpful than, and you don't worry about any kind of pressure that might be there?
Well, that's one of the things coaches and we discussed early on is, you know, try to eliminate as much of the pressure on the boys as we can. You know, I mean, they've all watched the games on ESPN in the past, and they know the success that the other teams have had. But you know, we're our own team, and we control our own destiny. So, but being able to talk to the other coaches and determining and figuring out how they handled the same type of stress, you know, has definitely helped. And so we've tried to limit it as much as we can.
Well, Bill, certainly wish you the best of luck. And again, a week from Friday, you guys go after it, and certainly hope to see you guys make an end of that next round and make it all the way to Williamsport.
Great. I appreciate the support of the community.
All right, Bill, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. That's Bill Bonner, the head coach of the Kearney Little League team, starting that path next weekend in terms of trying to make it back to Williamsport when they play in Indianapolis coming up next week. It's time for us to take a quick break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll wrap things up right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair. Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a summer checkup. Summer driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the hot summer driving conditions. Tice Auto Care can check your hoses, brakes, fluids, and air conditioning so you're prepared for your vacation or just everyday driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your summer vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service, and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Every day, you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
So much of this song, I mean, come on, it's Cher.
Yeah, you're grooving.
I'm deeply concerned.
Our Midtown Mart cooler question.
Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. Which Nebraska football home game are you most looking forward to? We had Miami at McNeese State, as well as Purdue, Florida Atlantic, Illinois, Minnesota, Rutgers. I mentioned the first one because that was our overwhelming winner. Miami got 78% of the vote. The other 22% spread out among, well, McNeese State and Purdue were the only ones that also got votes. So Miami, yay.
McNeese State can be family day, because if you can't find tickets to that thing, you ain't looking.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that. And Purdue, I mean, somebody must already have tickets and looking forward to it for that reason to pick Purdue. So, since we asked what home game you're looking forward to, in Miami, your big winner, which Nebraska football away game are you most looking forward to?
You're so tricky.
Yeah. Fresno State, Michigan State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Iowa. All of those have an intriguing aspect to it. I don't think, yeah, Miami was an easy choice for the home game. For the road games, you know, going to Northwestern, going to Chicago, it's an easy flight in, easy flight out. That wouldn't be all bad. Wisconsin, Michigan State's been a pretty good rivalry, and, you know, Iowa's kind of that border war a little bit. So, I don't know. There's some good choices there.
Go to ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. I'm going to go.
I like Wisconsin.
Yeah, people didn't have a very good experience there.
No, they got the well, but again, that might be a good reason to go back and get that taste out of your mouth. Maybe they can win one there.
It all depends. Each one of those depends where Nebraska is sitting in their season at the time that that game is played.
Yes.
I'll say Michigan State, because I think they're ripe for the picking.
Michigan State is?
Yeah.
again,
you have to win at Northwestern and you have to win at Iowa to go to the West. You do not have to win at Wisconsin. You have to beat Michigan State. Problem is, you have to win at Wisconsin to win the tiebreaker, the Michigan State game, not quite as important as it has been in the past.
Got to win the Wisconsin
because they're in your division.
Yeah. You can lose Michigan State and you'd be okay. Not in great shape. Probably not going to make the Final Four if you do that.
They're not going undefeated.
I have my doubts that they'd go undefeated. Could be a magical year. And by the way, it would take magic.
Well, you better.
It would take magic. It happens.
I'll get my Vegas ticket tomorrow. Mason Appleton is going to Michigan State, coming into the Tri-City Storm this year. The forward played at Notre Dame Academy, and the Spartans impressed during his tryout at Las Vegas in the Storm camp last month. The Nebraska amateur down to its final 62. They take the top 60 in ties, and David Klaus, a friend, had the lead after 2 days. He's off to a little rough start today. He slipped back. He's 2 shots behind Renan Serre of Gordon, who plays his golf at Midland. Also in the top 20 right now, Josh and Riley Reinertsen, who are both at even par, and Loper golfers Michael Colgate and alum Chris Kelzer are both at 3 over par. And they're early on in their third round today. Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star softball games are tonight in Lincoln. Dave Prokish of Northwest is coaching the red team, which will have Libby Norvell of Grand Island and Shelby Shocker of Northwest. On the blue team, Emily Franzen of Gothenburg and Jessica Klein of Grand Island. Volleyball last night, a lot of area kids, and a lot of them did well. We had Matt Kane Fairbanks of St. Paul on yesterday. His blue team beat the red in 4 sets, but on the red team, Kearney Catholic Shayla Connor voted by her teammates the team MVP. So
that
congratulations to her.
Yeah, that is outstanding way to kind of wrap up the high school portion of her career.
But Morgan Nicola Macy Coffey actually had the most stats. She had 4 kills, 1 ace, and 1.5 ace blocks. Morgan Nicola of St. Cecilia, Sorhan from Northwest, and Taylor Teal of Aurora all had 3 kills. Teal had 2.5 blocks. Katie Plocky had an ace serve. Danny Most for the red, 3 kills. Allison Mason also chipped in yesterday, played a little bit on the red team. So congratulations, Mercedes Lassen, St. Paul.
And good representation from Southwest High School. I never went to that school. It was consolidated from Rep Valley when I was there, but she repped it.
Kinsey May.
She repped it very, very well.
There you go. Nice story.
It is a nice story.
In the World Herald today on her. So you might want to check that out. Indiana has a new baseball coach. Chris Lemonis had been the assistant at Louisville. Before that, he'd been the assistant at his alma mater at the Citadel. Of course, Tracy Smith last month took the job at Arizona State. Indiana, the 2-time defending champion.
Big shoes to fill there.
State baseball, the times and brackets still being finalized as far as that goes, but I don't know how they keep doing it. Kearney and Grand Island win the area tournaments again. Grand Island already hosting. They're already in, but they go undefeated in the A6 tournament. They beat Columbus 17-7 yesterday. Kearney beat Hastings 14-7. They go undefeated in the A7. Home Federals won it 11 times in a row. Kearney's won it 8 times in a row. And so Grand Island and Kearney will be in Grand Island. Hastings goes to the state tournament in Omaha.
Kearney scored a lot of runs. And a little bit more traditional baseball scores for Grand Island as they went through, but they were dominant as well.
And a decent draw to start things off with Millard South, from what I understand, for the first round. Class B senior state will be at Blair. Cozad beat Holdridge 12-2. Albion beat Wakefield 10-1. They're headed to state. Class C state tournament is at Hebron. Shelton Gibbon, they run the table in their district. They beat Hirschland 8-2. And then Sutton, even without Steve Sponberg, they keep it going there. They beat Palmer, Wallback, Greeley, two of the great programs in that Class C baseball, 3-2. And then Sutton avenged their only loss of the tournament, beating St. Paul in the final 11-5. Rough night for Hastings Johnson Imperial last night. North Platte beat them twice to head to the state Class A tournament at Elkhorn South, 13-6-5-2. Grand Island 5 points beat Fremont 12-3. We'll talk with Coach Joe Wells tomorrow on the show. And the Class B and C junior finals are tonight. Hickman will play Waverly for the Class B title in Aurora. Waverly will have to win twice. The Class C at Creighton, it'll be Louisville against Battle Creek, and then the winner will play Creighton in the championship.
Following a little bit of the North Platte in Johnson Imperial Homes game a little bit, just kind of paying attention to that. Johnson Imperial Home just never really kind of got a break to kind of get things going. They had a couple of opportunities, just couldn't quite get things rolling, and somewhat surprised that North Platte scored as many runs as they did.
Well, we will talk more about that tomorrow as we head to Bandits. And don't forget, our winner today of the bull riding tickets is Bill Haas. Is that what you got me? But congratulations to B. Haas. Now, what has he got to do now, Jeff? You're going to contact him.
Yep, I'll give him a direct message on Twitter.
There you go. So it's right back to you. He's the winner of the Ultimate Bull Riding Tickets Sunday night at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. We've got another set of those that we'll give away this week. And don't forget, Friday on the show, our Husker Roundtable, plus complete coverage of the Legion Baseball Tournaments. Tomorrow we go to Grand Island Bandits. Steve Anderson is my co-host. We'll talk with trainer, one of the tops over the years, Marv Johnson. We'll also catch up with Joe Wells, Grand Island 5 Points coach. And our Big Ten football preview takes us to Wisconsin. I want to thank Paul Keels of Ohio State and Kearney Little League manager Bill Bonner for joining us today.
It was a fun, well-packed show. And don't forget the package for me, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm here to clean the pool. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Yeah.